going to the word. Let us agree in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you've so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving. We say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this even that there is clarity as the truth of God's word is taught. Truth of God's word is taught with accuracy, with precision. There is no confusion. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word. There is no confusion. There is no distraction. There is no contradiction. Truth of God's word is taught with simplicity, with clarity, with precision. And at the end of today's meeting, as saints, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Yeah, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. We just want to continue dealing with what we started on Sunday. Moses' use of the word heaven and earth and how what he used it to teach. Look at 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy 3 says, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." And from a child would imply from when Timothy began as a saint. So thou hast known the holy scriptures. The word there holy means writings or something set apart, something distinct, something with a distinct purpose, right? So for instance, the microphone I use on Sunday is distinct to me. Yeah, it doesn't mean the microphone does not sing. Yeah, it just simply means that it's set apart for the person that will teach the word. So when you say holy scriptures, it means set apart writings which are able. So those set apart writings have a purpose, which is to give an ability to make the wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. So it says all scriptures are given by inspiration. That means scriptures are already inspired by the Spirit of God. So if scriptures are inspired by the Spirit of God, we need to see what the Spirit of God inspired to be written. Yeah. So a careful reader of scriptures will see the real intent of what the Spirit inspired. Are we together? So it says they are profitable. The word they're profitable means advantageous. So they are advantageous for doctrine. It says for reproof. The word they're reproof means to give an assurance. Yeah, so from scriptures, the scriptures have an advantage, which is to teach, that is doctrine. And in doctrine, we find assurance. In assurance, we find what? Correction. The word there, correction, means to rectify or to straighten up or to bring correction, so to say. It now says, for instruction in righteousness, that man of God may be perfect. So scriptures are to make us wise concerning salvation. At this time, 2 Timothy wasn't written. So the scriptures will be Genesis up until Malachi. Yeah, so it means that, and that from a child, thou hast known the holy scriptures into bracket, Genesis to Malachi. So to say into bracket, the writings of Moses, the writings of the prophets, and the Psalms. See, they are able to make the wise. So the word their wise speaks about being skillful, a wisdom that brings skill. So make this skillful regarding what? Salvation. So if you want to be skillful regarding the subject matter salvation, you must dwell and dwell richly in the Old Testament writings. So it means that as saints, we don't say what we call Old Testament books as Old Covenant. You know, oh, that's under the law. No, Jesus has come to bring grace. No, don't quote from Nehemiah. No, we are to quote and explain Nehemiah and see salvation in Nehemiah. We are to quote and explain Ezekiel. We are to quote and explain Habakkuk and see the way the prophets wrote about the salvation plan. Look at Luke's Gospel 24. Look at what Jesus did upon his resurrection. So Luke's Gospel 24, verse 24. "And certain of them, yeah, which went to the sepulchre, found it even so as the woman had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken." Now, all the prophets have spoken. We will know that that includes Moses and the prophets and the Psalms. How do we know? Look at the next verse, verse 27. "Rather, and beginning at Moses and the prophets, he expounded unto them." So he began to explain to them what the prophet had spoken. So he called them fools because they didn't believe what the prophet had spoken the way they ought to. So he now brings their attention to what they ought to believe about the writings of the prophet, which is what? "Ought not Christ to have suffered these things that ye see and to enter into his glory?" Yeah, so the word there, enter, speaks about going into a place for the very first time. Yeah, so to enter into his glory, yeah, Christ was to suffer and enter into his glory. Look at verse 27. And beginning at Moses, so what is Jesus really doing? He's trying to explain the things they were to believe from the writings of the prophets. So beginning at Moses, then all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself that they saw. So he was taking them back to Moses, taking them back to, you know, the writings of the prophets, and trying to show them that what they are seeing with their physical eyes is not out of the blues. Rather, the prophets and Moses wrote about that. Are we together? Yeah, look at John 5, 46. Look at John chapter 5, verse 39. Look at John 5, 39 first. So, John 5, 39, he says, he searched the scriptures. So what do scriptures be? That same scriptures that Jesus is talking about is the same scriptures that Paul was talking about to Timothy. So in the real sense, we can read John chapter 5, verse 39 as he searched the holy scriptures. Did you get that? Yeah, he searched the holy scriptures, that is the writings of the prophets and Moses. For in them you think ye have eternal life, but they are they, and they are they which testify of me. Verse 46. Had ye believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. So the writings of Moses point to a person. The writings of the prophets, the writings of scriptures have a testimony. Yeah, the testimony is the testimony that points to the person of Jesus. So Jesus says, have you believed Moses? Had you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for Moses wrote of me. But if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words? So we started looking on Sunday how Moses started talking about heaven and earth. And we started explaining how Moses used the words heaven and earth to speak about God's new kingdom. Yeah, God's new kingdom, God's new creation. Yeah, look at Genesis chapter 1. Yeah, remember, if you had believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. He says, if you believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words? Look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Yeah, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Almost every believer, let me say it this way, because some believers might not know Genesis 1:1, really. So, almost every believer, yeah, should be able to recite John and Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Now, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, who is talking in Genesis? It is Moses. What did Jesus say about Moses? If you believe Moses, you will believe me. Hold on. Hold your hands to Genesis 1 and run quickly to John chapter 1. Now, I said run, right? Moses said, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Look at John 1:1. He says, in the beginning was the Word. Are we together? Yeah, so it means we need to see what the word was used to, or what was written as the word in Genesis 1. Why? Because the writer of the book of John is teaching obviously from Genesis. So when you see in the beginning, yeah, from the beginning it wasn't so. That is Genesis, the writings of Genesis. So to say Genesis 1, 2, 3. Yeah, so in the beginning was the word. So it means that you can put in the beginning was the word where you see in the beginning God created heaven and earth. Look at it again. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. So in the beginning God created. In the beginning God created. See, it says John 1, it says in the beginning was the word. Yeah, the word there, word, is the Greek word logos. Yeah, and it speaks about a thought or pattern of thinking. So, in the beginning was the logos. Yeah, the thought system. So, in the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. See, the same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was what? Life, and the life was the light of men. And the light was the light of men. Look at it again. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Was the light of men. altogether. Yeah, the word here, man, speaks about is the word anthropos. Yeah, it speaks about human being as a species. Yeah, so light of man will not be the male species, but man as mankind. So in him was life, and that life was the light of men. See verse 5. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. So clearly we see that John is teaching from the book of John, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. And chapter 1, so to say. So go back to Genesis chapter 1. Look at Genesis chapter 1. So, where Moses says, in the beginning God created, yes, the heavens and the earth. In verse 3, he said, God said, let there be light. John tells you, in him was a life, right? Is him, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Moses tells you, and God said, let there be one light, and there was light. John says, that light is the light to men. Light to men. Paul tells you, we saw on Sunday, the light of the glorious gospel. But hold on. Yeah, look at Genesis 1 again. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Yeah, so in the beginning, that phrase in the beginning is the Hebrew word reshit. I'll spell it for you. Reshit. R-E-S-H-I-Y-T-H. Yeah, that's the word there, reshit. R-E-S-H-I-Y-T-H. Now, when we're dealing with the series on generosity and we're teaching about the first fruits, we paid so much attention to that word reshit. Yeah, we looked at the similar, similar words and root words, you know, the bereshit, reshit, and things like that. So, in the beginning, he says, in the beginning, that word in the beginning, yeah, is actually a singular word in the Hebrew, reshit. And it's a word that means first or beginning. If the word can mean first, beginning, the best, the chief, I'll give you again, yeah, the beginning. It can mean first, it can mean best, it can mean chief. So in the beginning, God created. We can say, firstly, God created heaven and earth. Are we here? Right? So in the beginning, God created heaven and earth. Now, we looked at what heaven was or what heaven is on Sunday. And we saw that the word heaven is a word used to speak about that which is unseen. And over scriptures, we saw it as people began to use it to describe God's activity, starting with Moses. Are we together? Yeah. So, in the beginning, God created heaven and the earth. Look at it. What did Jesus say? If you believe Moses, you would have believed me, for Moses wrote of me. So, we need to pay attention to what is this man saying. Yeah, I'll let you see what this young man saying, but sorry, it's not my mate. Yeah. What is this man saying? In the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. Now, he doesn't tell you anything wrong with the earth, with the heaven rather. Yeah, so now, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, he doesn't tell you anything is wrong with heaven. But he tells you straight away into verse 2, and the earth was without form and void. Now, the word without form and void, we looked at it on Sunday, and we said it's the word tohu buhu. Yeah? Emptiness, confusion. So, the earth was in darkness, so to say. You see that? Yeah? So, it's the word tohu is the word that speaks about formlessness or confusion. And the word void speaks about waste or emptiness. So, God created heaven and the earth. Who is talking? Moses. So, Moses now points your attention to something particular about the earth. And he says, the earth was without form and void, and what? Darkness was upon the face of the deep. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. That word there, darkness, is the word that means obscurity. Yeah, the word there, darkness, is a word that means obscurity. So, and the earth was without form, that is tohu, and void, that is buhu, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Now, see what now happens. And the Spirit of the Lord God moved upon the face of the waters. What is he describing? The earth. What did he call it, say about the earth? Without form and void. What did he say secondly about the earth? There was darkness. So what did he call the earth in the next verse after darkness? In the next line after darkness, he says, darkness was upon the face of the deep. So the face of the deep will be similar, or another way of talking about what? The earth. Yeah. So the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters is still the same way of talking about the earth. So the earth that was without form means that what? There was darkness, and it means that the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Now what, verse 3, look at verse 3 carefully. It says, and God said, let there be light. Bible says, in him, John 1, verse 4, 5, in him is life, and the life is the light of men. So, God said, let there be light. Moses said, if you believe Jesus, rather, Jesus said, if you believe Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. Altogether, and God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. You see, patiently follow this series. When we look at the division between light and darkness, we will see it actually found in the choices of men. Hallelujah. Yeah. So it is not God that actually chose people who will be in darkness and those who will be in light, but people, as a repercussion of their decision, yeah, they are divided into light and darkness. Well, no. Jump with me to verse 14. Look at verse 14. And God said, let there be light in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. So this is, let there be light, right? In the firmament of the heaven. Now God said, let there be light, and there was light. So if God said, let there be light, and there was light in verse 3, yeah, and God saw the light was good, it means that we need to pay attention to the use of light as Moses did. Are we together? Yeah, are we together? Now go back to verse 2. The Spirit of God moved. Now, let's pay attention to a few words there. Now, let's look at the word there, Spirit. What did Moses mean by the Spirit? Yeah, look at the word there, Spirit. The word there, Spirit, is the Hebrew word ruach. The word there, Spirit, is the Hebrew word ruach. R-U-A-C-H. The word there, Spirit, is the Hebrew word ruach. R-U-A-C-H. And it's a word used to describe that which is unseen yet active. Now remember, in a few services ago, I pointed our attention to Genesis 3, when it says the cool of the day. And we saw that same word cool is the same word ruach as interpreted in Genesis 1 verse 2. So, and the ruach of God, that is the Spirit. What is Spirit? Yeah, it's a word that implies breath. Yeah, so in the real sense, it's a word that is used to describe that which is unseen, yet it is active. Are we together? Yeah, the word Spirit, ruach, is a word used to describe that which is unseen, yet active. Now, the word there, moved, is the Hebrew word rakab. Rakab, I'll spell it for us. R-A-C-H-A-P-H, Rachav, really. Yeah, R-A-C-H-A-P-H. Now, it's a word that implies incubation. Go back again. It's a word that implies incubation. Yeah? Rachav. It's a word that implies to brood. B-R-O-O-D. Or a word that implies that is used to want to enter into somewhere. Oh, yeah? It's a word that is used or that implies, is a word used when one wants to enter into a place or enter into somewhere. So, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Now, remember, the earth he spoke about in verse 2 is the same thing he called deep and waters. Yeah, in our previous teaching, we explained that how the water flowed, you know, from garden and what it implied. right? So, but we'll pay more attention to that in days to come, right? But look at that carefully. He says, and the Spirit moved upon the face of the water. So look at it. He can be talking about different things. Yeah, when he says face of the deep is equal to the face of the water, is equal to the face of the earth. Are we here? So Moses was teaching the state of man without the Spirit of God. So look at it. The earth was without form and void. What is the solution to the earth being without form and void? The Spirit supplied. The Spirit moving. Please follow. Yeah, Genesis 1 verse 1 to 2. That's what we are dealing with today. So the Spirit supplied, yeah, is the solution to bring an end to emptiness and formlessness. Remember that word? Yeah, so the earth was without form, that is empty, that means there was confusion. What is the solution of the earth that is without form and it is void? It is the Spirit of God moving. So the Spirit of God that is moving is the Spirit of God that brings solution to the emptiness of the earth and the voidness of the earth. So what is Moses teaching? Moses has been teaching from Genesis chapter 1, yeah, the state of man without the Spirit of God. That is why the solution to the darkness is the Spirit of God moving. In the real sense, what is it? God said, let there be light. So let there be light is actually the Spirit moving. You see, you must be careful not to read verse 2 and 3 as different things. You know, let's leave. A couple of theologians believe that there were thousands of years between Genesis 1 and Genesis 2. Mm-hmm. And the real sense, yeah? Yeah. And God said, let there be light, really, and it is in real self, is the explanation of what the Spirit moved. So, Moses is teaching of the state of the earth without the Spirit. Now, we established on Sunday that the earth was figurative to speak about the hearts of men. Hold your hands and go to Mark 4. Look at Mark 4. Go to Mark chapter 4, verse 13. Mark chapter 4, verse 13. Mark chapter 4, verse 13. Look at it. He says, and he said unto them, know ye not this parable? How then will you know all parables? So he's saying that this parable is so fundamental from Genesis 1. How will you know other parables? Verse 14, it says, the sower soweth the word. Now, a farmer sows the word on the ground. But this word that the sower sows is actually sown in their heart. Look at verse 15. These are they by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they have heard. So you hear in the heart, with the heart, yeah, with your ears in your heart, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their heart. So this word is sown in their heart. Yes, this word is sown in the heart. Look at Luke 8. Look at Luke 8, 11. Luke 8, 11. Luke chapter 8, verse 11. The same parable. Same parable. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Right? The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh out the word out of their heart, lest they should believe and be saved. He says, the seed is the word of God. So the seed is that word of God that is planted on the earth, that is the heart of men. I'll say that again. Yeah, the seed is the word of God that is planted on the earth, which is the heart of men. So the seed is the word of God. Go back to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. Verse 2. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved. The Spirit of God was moved. So the Spirit of God moved. John tells you this, in the beginning was the word. Jesus tells you the seed is the word. So in the beginning was the word. Yeah, Moses tells you, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form, and the Spirit of God moved, right? So the solution, so in the real sense, the Spirit of God moved means that there is light supplied. Hallelujah. Yeah, so the light supplied is the seed that is to be sown in the heart of men. Oh, gracious Father. Yeah, let me say it better. Yeah, the Spirit of God is that light that illuminates darkness on the earth. Did you get that? Yeah, the Spirit of God is that light that illuminates darkness on the earth. Now remember, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the earth. Now, what will bring light into that is the Spirit that moves. Yeah, so the Spirit of God is a light that removes darkness from the earth. Now, Jesus tells you, the seed is the word of God. So, the seed which is the word of God is the Spirit of God that brings light to darkness. Are we together? So, what is Moses teaching in Genesis 1? He says, the earth was without form. He's really saying that what? Darkness was amidst men. So, what would darkness imply? It would be figurative for sin and death. We'll look at that shortly. So, Moses was teaching the state of man without the Spirit of God. Are we here? Let me say something that will interest you. Yeah. So, Moses was teaching about the state of the earth without the seed of God. You didn't get that? Yeah. I'll say that again. Moses was teaching about the state of the earth without the seed of God. That state of the earth is really the state of the heart. So, the state of the heart, yes, the solution to that darkness of that is associated with the state of the heart is actually the light that is the Spirit, which is the seed that is the Word. Did you get that? Did you get that? Yeah, so the Spirit of God moved means there is light, and there was light. So, what will light now mean? Light will be the absence of darkness. In the real sense, you know that doesn't logically add up, yeah? In the real sense, what is darkness? Darkness will be the absence of light. So, Moses is writing about the state of mankind, yeah, having an absentee spirit, yeah, or without the Spirit of God. That is his light. So, the Spirit of God is the light of God. Remember, John 1:4, in him is life. That life. Spirit, yeah, the word life is spirit, yeah, that life spirit, yeah, your life is spirit, yeah, so that life is the spirit, yeah, altogether, which is light, ultimately. So, see what Moses said in Genesis 2, look at Genesis 2, okay, Genesis chapter 2, look at Genesis 2, verse 16. So, Moses is writing a very interesting concept. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge. So, he uses the earth without the Spirit to communicate the same truth with the Garden of Eden. And the same truth in Cain's story with the face of the earth. Remember, we've been coming from that long journey in a while, right? We've been coming from that very long journey. Please follow, dear saints, right? Please follow, dear saints. I'll say it again, right? The Spirit of God, yeah, is the solution that is the light to darkness on the face of the earth. Now, Moses says what? Of every tree, when you eat, thou shalt surely die. Now, what is surely die? Death is the absence of life. So, if death, can you see the same concept Moses is teaching? Moses taught darkness as the absence of light, that is death, the absence of life. Are we here? So, death is the absence of life. Darkness is the absence of light. The same truth. And it's the same thing he taught us, sending out of the garden, which is being away from the presence of God. Hope we are here, we are following. I hope we are here. I plan to make sure that this series, this particular teaching on heaven, and remember I told us on Sunday, right? I know our question ahead. Yeah, but we'll keep teaching. Hallelujah. Yeah, so Genesis 3 verse 23 shows us that what man was to eat, or man, if there was a guard against the tree of life, whereby if man eats, he will be associated with God's life. Right? What is God's life? God's life is God's spirit that is the light. How together? Go back to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. Genesis. Genesis chapter 1, verse 3. So, it says, Bible says God said, let there be light. God said, let there be light. Now, the word let there be light is a word, I'll spell it for us. Let there be. Let's take it first of all. The word let there be is the Hebrew word hayai. Yeah? The word let there be is the Hebrew word hayai. H-A-Y-A-H. Yes? I'll say it again. Let there be is the Hebrew word hayai, and is a word derived from hava haya. Now, hava haya, spell it for us. H-A-V-A space H-A-V-A-H. Are we together? So, let there be is Hayah, H-A-Y-A-H. Now, that is where the Hebrew word Yahweh was derived from. Yahweh, Y-H-W-H. Yeah, that word Yahweh was derived, the Y-H-W-H was derived from Hava Have or Hava Heye. Let me just spell it for us though. H-A-V-A, H-A-V-A-H. Let's stay there. Now, let's see how that the root word was used by Moses in Exodus. Now, remember, the audience in Exodus is the same audience for Genesis. How together? The Israelites. Yeah? Look at Exodus 3, verse 14. Exodus 3, verse 14. Exodus 3, verse 14. Bible says what? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. You know, we know what I am that I am is. Yeah? He says, and God said unto Moses, I am that I am. So I am is from that. So that word I am is the same Hebrew word Hayah. H-A-Y-H, which I said is what? Let there be. So in Genesis 1 verse 3, let's take it back a little. Genesis 1 verse 3, God said, let there be. The word let there be is the word I am in Exodus 3:14. So, the word there, Hayah, is a word that means for there to be. It means to be. All together. The word I am is a word that speaks about, it means to be, Hayah, let there be. So, let there be light. So, light be. Do you understand? Do you understand that? Do you understand what I just did? Yeah? So, where is, go back to Genesis 1. Genesis. Go back to Genesis 1. Look at Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, verse 3. So, and God said, let there be light. What he's really saying is that God said, light be. Are we here? Be. Now, go to Exodus 6. Exodus chapter 6, verse 1. Exodus chapter 6, verse 1. Then the Lord said unto Moses, now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh. For with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land. And God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. I am the Lord. Now keep reading. Verse 3. And I appeared unto Abraham. Yeah? Appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty. So, I appeared unto Abraham, Isaac, Jacob as God Almighty, or by the name of God Almighty, but by my name Jehovah. Yeah? Jehovah. Yeah? Was I not known to them? Altogether, verse 4. And I have also established my covenant with them, to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, wherein they were strangers. And I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage, and I have remembered my words, covenant. Verse 6, wherefore I say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out. Are we together? I will bring you out. So, I will bring you out from bondage. I will bring you out from under the burdens of Egyptians. And I will rid you out of their bondage. That is, I will redeem you with a stretched out arm. Yeah? What we did as, you know, the Olawagboro. Olawagboro. Yeah, that's the Greek word, right? Remember? Yeah? I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great what? Judgment. So I will be the one. So what is Moses, God saying to Moses? I am the one that will bring them out of bondage. Look at verse 7. And I will take you to me for a people. Remember, when Moses writes about a bondage and a deliverance from the Israelites, he's speaking about God's people being delivered from the bondage of what? Sin and death. So, I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of Egypt. So, the outstretched arm will be used to redeem, that is to take them to be his people, and he their God. Now, remember, I'll say it again. The audience of Genesis and Exodus have the same. So, Genesis and Exodus have the same audience. So, go back to Genesis chapter 1. Remember, let there be means be. Yeah, that's the root word that is gotten from is where you have the I am. Are we together? Are we together? Yeah, so that word I am, I have means to be. Now, Genesis 1 verse 3. And God said, let there be light. Or God said, light be. Right? So, what is Moses writing? Moses was writing prophetically an explanation of God, of what God wants to do in the earth. How will he do it? He will do it by his spirit, that is his light. I'll say that again. Moses from Genesis chapter 1 is writing out God's original plan from time. Remember, yeah, God did not get caught unawares with what Adam did and now started looking for a remedy. No, God knows the end from the beginning. Now, since he knows the end from the beginning, it simply means that what? He will know what to do to redeem man. Yeah, now who is writing about God's plan from time? Moses. So Moses was writing or speaking prophetically an explanation of what God will do in the earth. How will he do it? The Spirit of God moved. That's how he wrote it. And God's Spirit is his light. Yeah, so the Spirit of God that will move is what will put man in the right. That's what will put the earth in the right. Remember, the earth without form and void is formlessness, emptiness, confusion. What will bring sanity is the Spirit of God that hover, that is moved, which is actually what? The light that there should be. So, his Spirit moved is his light shining. His Spirit moved is his light shining. Look at Acts 6. Look at Acts 6. Acts 26, quickly. Look at Acts 26. Remember, the Spirit moving is his light shining. Look at Acts 26, 22. Let me show you something quickly. Acts 26, verse 22. Acts 26, Acts chapter 26, verse 22. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying no other thing than those which the prophet and Moses did say should come. Who is talking here? Paul. That Christ should suffer and that he should be the first that should what? Rise from the dead. Remember, Moses said firstly. Yeah? Reshit. Yeah, and we've looked at a series talking about the firstborn, the first fruit. Yeah, the first begotten from the dead. So Jesus is the first begotten. Now look at it again. Look at it again. He says, I have been saying no other things than those which prophet and Moses in Genesis, for instance, in Exodus, for instance, did say should come. What did he say should come? That Christ should suffer and that he should be the first to rise from the dead. And should shine light unto what? The people. God said, let there be light. Has been Moses' message, which is God's message from time. What is the message of light? The message of light is Christ will suffer and rise from the dead. In case you want to understand Paul better, look at 2 Corinthians 4. Remember, Paul is saying, he's not saying anything different from what Moses and the prophet said should come to pass. So, it means that when you read Paul's writing, he's teaching from Moses and the prophets. He tells you, he says, Christ should suffer and that this light should shine to the people. Yeah, the Gentiles, who you call the outcast in relation to Israel. Glory to God. Yeah, so look at the same Paul. He says, if our gospel be hid, hallelujah, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, verse 4, in whom the God of this world had blinded their minds, or the minds of them which believe not, yeah, lest the light of the glorious gospel. So Paul tells you, I'm saying no other thing apart from what God, what Moses and the prophet have been saying about God's message. What has God's message been from time according to Moses? God said, let there be light. What is let there be light? The Spirit of God moved. So, in whom the God of this world has blinded the heart, lest the light, which is the Spirit, move. Remember the word there, moved, means to enter a place for the first time or to find his way into a place. Remember that, we look at that today. Yeah, to find his way and enter into somewhere. So the Spirit of God moved over the face of the waters. So a good way to read that would be, the Spirit of God moved over the face of the water. I mean over the face of the deep. I mean over the face of the earth. Yeah, and I mean over the hearts of men. You get that? Let me say it again. Yeah, let me say it again. Yeah. The Spirit of God hovered. So the Spirit of God, which is the light of God, yeah, hovered or moved upon the face of the waters. That is, he moved upon the face of the deep. I mean to say, he moved upon the face of the earth, which is actually what I mean by saying over the hearts of men. The gospel is made available to the hearts of men. Yeah. So lest the light of the glorious what? Gospel who of Christ, who is the image. So the gospel of Christ, it now tells you Christ is the image of God. So Christ as the image of God has been God's plan from Genesis 1, 26, 27, 28. Christ as the light of God has been God's message from Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 to 3. Look at verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, had shined in our hearts. That is the earth. Remember, Moses tells you that the light shines on the earth. What does the light shining on the earth mean? It means it supplies what? The Spirit of God to the hearts of men, which is the seed that is replanted on the earth that has darkness. I want you and admonish you to listen to this particular teaching over and others, over and over and over again. Right? So for God, who commanded light to shine out of darkness, where is it from? Genesis. What did he call the light first in 2 Corinthians 4? The light of the glorious gospel. So he says, for God, who commanded light to shine out of darkness, had shined in our hearts, to do what? To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. So Habakkuk will say, so go to Habakkuk 2. We're coming back to 2 Corinthians and Genesis. Look at Habakkuk 2. Look at Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 14. Look at Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 14. Verse 14. Habakkuk 2, verse 14. For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. So, what is the Spirit moved upon the earth is that God wants mankind to receive of his light. Yeah, that means God wants mankind to receive. So, the knowledge of the glory of God will abound yet more and more on the earth, which is will be seen in the heart of men. You didn't get that? Yeah, look at that. So the earth shall be filled with the knowledge. This is a prophecy from Habakkuk years before Jesus came. So go back to 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians 4. Your hand should still be in 2 Corinthians 4 and by extension Genesis, right? Praise God. Yeah, that's why we have 10 fingers to open several portions of scriptures. Yeah, for God, who commanded the light to shine. He told you that the light is the light of the glorious gospel in verse 4. So God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our heart to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. What did Paul say? I'm saying no other thing than what Moses and the prophet have been saying. That Jesus Christ shall suffer and that light shines on the people. Light shines on the people. Hallelujah. So go to Genesis chapter 1. Please, what I'm going to say next will help you a lot. Look at Genesis chapter 1. Please follow, yeah? Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. That means there was darkness amidst the mist, or amidst the activities, or amidst men. And the Spirit of God was moved. Remember, Moses is writing ahead. Moses is writing God's plan ahead before mankind did what mankind did. Did you get that? Moses is writing the solution God preferred before Adam did what he did. So when he says darkness was upon the face of the deep, yeah, the Spirit of God moved is the let there be light. So let there be light. And there was light. Now, how did he further explain light? So light is to illuminate the what? The earth. Oh, gracious Father, please follow. I'm going to say something very important right now, yeah? Light is to illuminate the entire earth. So God's plan as from time has been that his light will fill the earth. Do you get that? That is, his light will fill the hearts of men. How did Habakkuk say it? The earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. So, what does water cover the sea mean? It means that if for you to call it sea, it means water covers it. So, he's saying that the light must be full across all the earth. That is mankind. So, God's salvation plan is for the entirety of mankind. Nobody precluded, nobody excluded. I'll say that again. God's plan from time has been to supply light to mankind with nobody precluded, nobody excluded. So, he says, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw that the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from darkness. In the real sense, he's saying that light now brings a disparity between those who have light and those who are in darkness. So, God divided will be a figure of speech for where man decides to put himself.
Okay. I was supposed to go there.
Yeah, so look at it. Let me go there. Yeah. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called it night. So the day he called light, or the light that he called day, yeah, he's still speaking about those in the light and those in darkness. So Moses now tells you that, light brings a disparity between those that have light and those that are in darkness. In the real sense, those that have light, they call them day. Those that don't have light, call them night. And God said, let there be a fire in the midst of waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. He's still speaking about something. Those that have light and those that don't have light.
Oh, glory to God. See.
And God, no, let's not go there. Don't push me there. Yeah. So look at what it says in Genesis 1:26. That should get you thinking, right? Yeah, that's the plan. I want you to think a little. Yeah. Look at Genesis 1, verse 26. So, and God said, let us make man in our own image. Now, Paul tells you, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, that the image, let the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image. Yeah. We looked at that word image, which we'll pay attention to in days to come. Selem. It's a word used for, that is used to speak about a physical representation of an unseen being. So, verse 26, God said, let us make man in our own image after our what? Likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Look at 27. And God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. So there's a him, there's a male, there's a female. There's no shim. Altogether, so the him there speaks about a person. That him is the image of God. Paul tells you, let the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God. So the image of God is a him, the person of who? Person of Jesus. So God's plan from time has been that male and female should be found in the person of him. Now let's see verse 28. He says, and God blessed them. Who are the them? God blessed them. We'll speak about the them found in him. Altogether. Now, the word there blessed is the word barak in the Hebrew. The word there blessed is a word that means barak. It means to congratulate. Did I speak that well? No. It means to congratulate or to welcome in. Are we together? So, and God blessed them. Who are the blessed? And God congratulated them. Who are the them that he congratulated? The male and female that he created that are to be found in him. Are we together? So he welcomed them. You see that? And God blessed them, and God said unto them, the word there blessed is the word barak, to congratulate or to welcome. All together. Yeah? So God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful. Are we together? He said, be fruitful and to multiply. Now let me ask you a question. If male and female are to be found in him, what would be fruitful mean? Is it to be giving birth to children up and down? No! It can't be. So be fruitful and multiply. We'll speak about the same plan from Genesis 1, verse 2 and 3. That is, the light must shine across the entire earth, that is across the universe, across the hearts of men. So the light, which is the spirit moving upon the face of the deep or the face of the waters, is equal to what? In the real sense, the multiplication and the fruitfulness will come in reference to what? Souls being congratulated and welcomed into in him. Can you see that? So that is the work of evangelism. Are we together? So God blessed them. Yes, he welcomed them and gave them an assignment to dress and keep. Hallelujah. So you see the same thing Moses is teaching. Yet from Genesis 1 to 3, the same thing. When it came to Adam, he started saying that Adam was to dress and keep the garden. And we said the word dress to keep there, dress will speak about the work of a service, the work of a priest, that is to re-announce and proclaim God's plan for the earth. All together. So, be fruitful and multiply is going into the world and make disciples. Yeah? Going into the world and make disciples. He that he believes is what? Saved. What is saved there? In the reason is to be the terms of what? You are what? Blessed. You are what? Welcome. You are what? Congratulated. You are welcome into in Christ. All together, it means you are now what? Light. It means you are now day. You are not night. You are day. You are light. You are not night. You are not darkness. Praise God. Praise God. Yeah. So he says, be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth. What is replenish the earth? Habakkuk tells you that for the knowledge of the earth shall be filled with the knowledge. So replenish the earth means what? God's plan from time has been what? The mankind is to be found in the person of Christ. Hallelujah. The word there, subdue, we'll look at it. We'll look at it maybe in days to come. But let's pay attention to a few of these words here and there in Genesis. So, yeah, the word subdue there is a word that is kabash. K-A-B-A-S-H. Kabash. 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 K-A-B-A-S-H. 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 And it's a word that means to trample underfoot. So look at what he says. He says, subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowls of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Now, please follow attentively. What will you suppose they were to subdue? What were they to do to man? They were to replenish man, that is, bring more men and welcome them into in him. But they were to subdue something. Look at Genesis 3. Genesis chapter 3. I hope we are learning something. Are you here? Have you gone home? You're home, right? Yeah? So look at Genesis 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. We'll pay attention to this shortly. Than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, had God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. What do you expect that Adam or mankind was to do at this time? They were to what? Subdue. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, therefore neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not what? Surely die. Now remember, the serpent there is an imagery to speak about the works of the devil. Are we together? Remember, see, serpents will not speak human language to human being. No. Let's leave all this grammar we are growing up with. There was no time serpents used to talk and they stopped talking. No. Let's assume there was only a time. Moses did not tell you that in part of the courses. Yeah, but really, it's figurative. Yeah. So remember, you must first have a language in your mind before you speak. We did that when we're dealing with languages concerning spirituals. Are we together? Yeah. Concerning spiritual, we explained that it is your vocabulary and language built in you first that enables your communication. So if you speak in tongues and before you can interpret your tongues, you only interpret your tongues to the degree of the language you've installed in the vocabulary of your mind. Are we together? So serpents would talk, they need to have learned a language. Maybe Adam was teaching serpents. I don't know. Are we together? But let's see what John tells you about the serpents. Yeah, so the same John that wrote John 1, when the beginning was the word, is the same John that wrote Revelations. Look at Revelations 12, 9. Revelations 12, 9. Revelations 12, verse 9. And the great dragon was cast out, That old what? Serpent. So when Revelation tells you that old serpent, it means your attention should go to the Old Testament books, starting from Genesis, the first use of serpent. So when you say the serpent was more subtle, he's just talking about the activities of the devil. Are we together? Yes. So Moses used imagery. Remember, we looked at on Sunday the meaning of imagery. And we said on Sunday that imagery is a part of a figure or speech in a literal work whereby the author uses vivid images to describe a concept or a phenomenon. Are we together? Yeah, imagery is using physical things that can be seen or physical things that the mind can connect to describe a concept. Are we together? Yeah, so if I say I saw a giant pursue me that was as big as this aeroplane, that's imagery. Yeah, that's imagery. Are we together? Yeah, so look at what it now says. It says the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called what? The devil, I mean Satan. So what it now says, which deceived the world, he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. We'll look at that in this to come. You know, some of us believe that, you know, angels were existence before mankind came, you know, and because of what they did, you know, God now sent them out. Let me give you something to think about a little. If angels existed before men came, means that it's not only God that has eternal life. Or it's not only God that has unending life. It means that God and angels have unending life. Okay, think about that a little. I'll say it again. Yeah, if angels existed before man, before the beginning, yeah, it means that angels have eternal life. That means not only God has eternal life. So it means that we should actually see scriptures that teach us how we will have eternal life like the angels. No, dear saints, yeah. In the beginning, God created. Yeah, that speaks about time. So angels don't live outside of time. Praise God. Yeah. But Moses did not put your attention to angels until Genesis 6. Yeah. For a reason. Yeah. So, and the Satan which deceived the world, yeah, he had cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation, strength, and the kingdom of our God, the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before the God day and night. It now says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, which is the word of their testimony. The Lord of their lives unto death, therefore rejoice ye heavens and ye that dwell in them. Hallelujah, the saints, right in Christ. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he had but a short time. You see, the devil had but a short time. So if the devil had but a short time, it means he doesn't exist outside time. Glory to God. And when the dragon saw that he was cast out on the earth, who is the dragon there? The serpent. The devil. He told you already in verse 9. Are we together? Let's leave this. Look at Revelation 20. Revelation 20. Revelation 20. Revelation 20. Yeah. Verse 2. And he said, and he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil. Which is the devil. So Moses is using imagery from Genesis chapter 3 to teach about what? The work of the devil. Hallelujah. Go to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. So now the serpent was more subtle. No, Moses is just teaching. That's why you have people who have serpents as their pets. Yeah, that's why you have people who have trained serpents. You know, there are people who carry serpents. There are people who hold serpents. Yeah, you know, there was a time my wife traveled to one of those places and she held a snake on her neck. Yeah, I didn't say she's serpentine. Yeah, I didn't say she's the Eve that was related to the... No. The way you can train lion, you can train a snake. So there's nothing too unique, apart from the fact that it's a wild animal. Yeah, nothing too unique from the serpents away from Wageko. They're the same. Just that some bite, some swallow, some don't swallow. See, like, some swallow ants. So now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. What is he really talking about? The activities of devil were found amidst men. Not snake. Are we together? Not snake. So when it says in verse 4, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Yeah, you shall not surely die means that this message was to oppose what God has said to man. Now remember, the woman was telling man that, and the devil that what? Oh, see, God said we should not eat. If we eat, we will die. So it means that if they don't eat, they will not die. So it means that the devil is bringing a message to show that what? To oppose what God said. Yeah, the word there surely die is a single Greek word. Hebrew word rather, that's the Old Testament books. Yeah, is the word mutmut. Mutmut in the Hebrew. Yeah, is the word mutmut. I'll tell you what, I'll spell it for you. M-U-T-H, M-U-T-H. So, mutmut is the word M-U-T-H, M-U-T-H. Now, there are two different words. And so, it's like the same word used in the same time, in the same place. So, is a word that can mean in dying, you shall die. Or is a word that implies dying, die. Yeah? Is a word that implies dying, die. So it's a word that means, so it's like I say, oh, if they shoot you, let me say. So if you say, if that guy should shoot somebody, the guy that he shoots will die. So that's what, yeah, mutmut, die. So it implies what? Dying, die. So in dying, ye shall die. In dying, he shall die. So what exactly is Moses talking about? Look at verse 13 now. And the Lord God said unto the woman, why is it that thou hast done? The woman said, what? The serpent beguiled me. Yeah, the serpent beguiled me. The serpent what? The serpent beguiled me. The word there beguiled means to deceive. So what is Moses talking about? He's talking about there was deception found amidst the activities of men. Are we together? Look at verse 12. The man said, the woman whom thou gavest to me to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Look at Genesis 49 quickly. Genesis chapter 49, verse 17. Genesis 49, verse 17. Yeah, Genesis 39, verse 49, 17. Dan shall be a serpent by the way, and alder in an eider in the path that biteth the horse's heels, so that the rider shall fall backwards. Yeah, that word there, adder, is a word shefifon. I'll spell it for us. It's the Hebrew word. Now, the word serpent is the Hebrew word nakash. N-A-C-H-A-S-H, Nakash. N-A-C-H-A-S-H, Nakash. Nakash, N-A-C-H-A-S-H. So, Dan shall be a Nakash, by the way, and an Adder. So, the word here, Adder, is the word S-H-E, Shifion. S-H-E-P-H-I-Y-P-N-O-P-H-O-N. I'll spell it again. Okay, Shififon. I got it. Shififon. Shephyphon. And it's a word that speaks about twisting. Yeah, to twist. So, Eve said, Satan beguiled me. So, can you see the similarity between beguiling, that is to deceive, and to twist? Altogether. So the writer of scriptures will use as figurative to refer to venomous words. What's full of venom? What's full of deception, or words that defile, or poisonous words? Yeah? Maybe we'll look at that in days to come. Yeah? We'll look at how that word is used particularly. It speaks about words that, you know, that have venomous words or poisonous words. Words that defile, that cause the hearer to stumble. Hallelujah. So, what really happened in Acts 3? There were words spoken, it caused that which heard to stumble. So, the question is, who stumbled? Who spoke the words? How were the words heard? Yeah, we'll look at that maybe on Sunday. So, the use of imagery of serpent was to explain what caused another. So, the word serpent, Adder, across scriptures, used for what? You know, let me show you something quickly. Look at Matthew 10. Remember, it tells you that, you know, it told us in Revelation that the serpent, the devil, Yeah, the cunning one or opposition, that which opposes that which is said. Yeah, look at Mark 10. Look at Mark 10. Look at Mark 10, verse 16. Mark 10, 16. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore as wise as serpents and harmless as dove. Dear saints, he's not saying have double sight. No, 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 no. Yeah, he's not saying when they want to treat you like dove, you act like dove. When they want to treat you like serpent, you act like lion. No, no, no. Yeah, we've done a systematic study to this scripture, and we've shown that there's a syntax error in that verse. So, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore as harmless as doves in the midst of men who are wise as serpents. Yeah, you might want to lay a hand. I think I'll record. If you message me after this meeting, I'll track down that, you know, teaching and send it to us. Yeah. So a good way to read that would be, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves who are as cunning as serpents. And you see, the word serpent is used figuratively for deception, to twist what was said, or that which causes another to stumble. He's not saying men were serpents. Can you see? He just says men are as wise as serpents. So it means that which happened in the beginning was that a trait was attached, or a trait of cunningness was explained, or venomous words were attached, or that which brings deception, or that which deceives. So, the use of imagery of serpent was to explain what caused another to stumble, which is what? That which brings deception, or that can be done by deception or by opposition. Hallelujah. So, go back to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved, yeah, upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, or light be. And there was what? Light. So the light is the light of the glorious gospel, which brings solution, or what that professed solution, or God's preferring solution plan to the darkness and mist men and their activities. Hallelujah. It's been a pleasure to bring God's word your way. I hope you've learned a few things.